It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. yes, indeed, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. Only we don't have a local game to look forward to on Sunday afternoon, which means... For those of you with the Sunday ticket, for those of you with Red Zone, which I imagine many of you have, you can actually watch lots of football and not just one game.
Woo!
How about them apples, huh, boys and girls? Like it. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. Thanks again for everybody that... reached out and expressed happy birthday and all that. So I don't really like over celebrate my birthday. At least I don't think I do. I kind of look at it as one step closer to doom. But everybody here at the radio station, Matt, obviously, Double A, I screwed up once and I called him Austin. Because my brain just works a million miles a minute. Double A, Athens and Annapolis, who came to visit yesterday and brought, you know, the Stone Cold Steve Austin cool walkout vest, which, no, I'm not going to wear anymore. I'm going to put it in a frame, indeed. CK, who ordered lunch for everybody, and everybody who came out and wished happy birthday and all that. All the listeners, all tweeters, you know, text people, all thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. We can move on now. I'm very appreciative. I feel very loved and again welcomed and all that good stuff. Even though some of you hate me, it's okay. It's okay. Some of you in the wrong context hate me. Hopefully we can avoid that today, Matty Ice. Hopefully we can avoid that today. I don't want to piss anybody off today, right? So I thought what we would do to start the show would be to be... Before we ease into the Commanders conversation, just start with like an innocuous Thursday night game that didn't have the same level of juice that the Monday night game from last week had because of the comeback of Kirk Cousins, right? And the Atlanta Falcons and the screw job, if you will, that either, depending on how you view it, Nick Sirianni or Saquon Barkley gave to the city of brotherly love and, you know, all that stuff. And before we get into something that one of the young Bengals defensive coordinators, defensive players said about the Washington offensive coordinator and the Washington offense, we'll get to all of that. Sam Cosmi is going to join us from everything that we've been told at just past 3:30. So the Commanders' top offensive lineman who just signed a big contract extension a couple of weeks ago and is a big part of what they're trying to do. And yes, he had a couple of costly penalties in the red zone last week, but he also did some good things as well. Sam Cosmi will join us. And again, scheduled for just after 3:30. So we'll have to rearrange some things. We'll have to do cleanup on aisle three a little bit earlier. We'll do Dumb Dumb of the Day after Sam Cosmi. We'll do our totally unique, never been done before, completely revolutionary, don't anybody steal this concept from me, double dip segment of Super Six Packs, in which we rank the top six teams in the NFL, 1 through 6, and hopefully do better than we did last week, and then also pick six games against the NFL spread. Now, they're not going to be smell tests. I don't have the patience for that. I just pick games that I think, I like this team. I think this is a fair number. I'm going to take a shot here. And when I say take a shot, I mean, the most I would ever probably gamble on a regular season game would be at max $5. At max. And I know that's nothing for a lot of you, but this isn't like me going out on a limb and putting my mortgage on the line or anything like that. No, 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 no. We don't do that on this show. We'll let others worry about that. But we will do, again, the most revolutionary segment in Sports Talk Radio history just after 3 o'clock today because, again, Sam Cosmi is expected to join us just after 3:30, so we have to move some things around.
Brand yes.
Exactly. Like Anthony Edwards said, bring your ass, whatever that means. He said that to Charles Barkley when Charles Barkley said basically Minneapolis sucked and he had not been there in like 20 years. And
bring your ass.
Anthony Edwards was like, yeah, come on, bring your ass. Well, here's the deal. I'm not going to tell you to do that today. I'm going to tell you, listen, the Thursday night game, I find very annoying. First of all, it's way too quick for guys to turn around and play. And I understand the NFL. I understand the NFL has all sorts of data that suggests that guys don't get hurt at a higher rate than in other games. I don't buy that data one bit. One bit. Because what they don't tell you, they tell you what you don't want to hear or what the public narrative is, that guys get hurt more on Thursday night football than they do on Sunday afternoon football or Saturday night football or Monday afternoon football or Monday night football or Tuesday morning football. That's what they tell you. What they don't tell you is how many guys can't, or if they play, are 75%, 80% hobbling around and not able to give it their full go, because if they had an extra 2.5 days of recovery to heal, right? Think about this. Think about this. The Commanders are going into Cincinnati, and they're playing, presumably, against Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, and just for good measure, it looks like T. Higgins is going to make his season debut. And Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, said, man, you know what? Can't say for sure, but it's trending in the right direction. I'm paraphrasing. But boy, that extra day really, really helps. It really helps. So think about it. Not to say that T. Higgins would not play if this game was played on Sunday, but his own head coach, who was noncommittal about him playing, but said he's kind of heading in the right direction, and specifically pointed out, man, that extra day and a half, theoretically, because that game would probably be a 1 o'clock game on Sunday afternoon if it was just a normal game. That extra day, day and a half, is really beneficial to T. Higgins. Well, what do you think the less 2.5 day, that's right, the less 2.5 day factor means for players to play on Thursday night? Now, that's not all players, obviously. I'm not dumb. I understand plenty of players play. I get it. And salute to them. And I understand that not everybody goes through a car crash. But when you look at certain games and you look at specifically the Thursday night matchup, if a team is coming off of a Sunday afternoon game, especially if it's in the late window, or sometimes, as they've done to the Commanders, they put the screws to them at least once. Maybe it was twice. I can't remember. I know it was Green Bay to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. They played the Commanders a home Sunday night game, and then they had to play Thursday afternoon early in Dallas with the road trip, travel, and all that stuff. But what the NFL did to the New York Jets from a scheduling perspective was putrid, and yet people are going to say, well, it had no impact. It had no effect. Well, I don't know that, because, yes, they won, but would C.J. Mosley have been able to play? Arguably their best linebacker, would he have been able to play last night if that game was on a Sunday instead of putting the screws to the Jets for a third time in 11 games? I don't know. Or 11 days, I should say. Now, again, they won the game 24-3. They didn't sweat it. They didn't need C.J. Mosley. But what if they did? You know, like, what if I told you the Commanders were in that position, which they have been in that position before to play three games in 11 days, and they didn't have, I don't know, let's just use the same position, Bobby Wagner. You don't think that would have any effect on their defense? Get lost. Of course it does. And then on top of that, just for instance, okay, the New England Patriots, everybody talked about, oh, they're so terrible, they're so bad, they're so awful, they're so this, they're so that. Well, they were missing their starting tackle and their starting guard last night. And they were lucky enough, I guess, lucky enough to have their starting center, Andrews, who was banged up going into the game anyway. So they were missing their starting left tackle, their starting left guard. Their center was on a bad wheel on a short week after playing an overtime game against the Seahawks, yes, in Foxborough, not in Seattle. And everybody's like, oh, oh, God, that team's awful. That team sucks. That team's putrid. That team's brutal. Just like all you dum-dums who went out and said, Daniel Jones, he's brutal. He's terrible. He's awful. He sucks. He's this. While totally and completely dismissing that he had a major knee surgery 7 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was. And he was playing for the first time against real legitimate NFL competition in a heavy blitzing attack of Brian Flores and the Vikings. And then in week two, against whatever the Commanders' defense is. People lose so much perspective, so much balance. They're just so quick. I saw this on Twitter last night, X, whatever I could pay attention. And I didn't pay attention a lot to it because then I get too angry and then I start mixing it up and I don't want to do that anymore. But I saw a lot of it after the game as I was trying to fall asleep. People are like, oh, a Patriots team is just brutal. They're not even a college football team. Listen, I don't know as much about the Patriots as I know about the Commanders. I know they're not a good team. Got it. But I know they went punch for punch with the Bengals, the team that the Commanders play this week, in week one and won a game in Cincinnati in week one. I know they went toe-to-toe with the Seattle Seahawks. Toe-to-toe? Does that make sense? Yeah, right? That makes sense. With the Seattle Seahawks last week. I know that. I know that. That's indisputable. What we don't know is how good they would be or how bad they would be, and probably closer to bad, if they had half of their offensive line playing and if they didn't have to go on the road against the Jets, granted, a very good defense normally, and a somewhat resurgent offense because of Aaron Rodgers and because of the backfield tandem that they have, so on and so forth. What we don't know is how the Patriots would have played that game if that game was on Sunday. And maybe they would have had one or two of their offensive line starters. Again, I'm not close enough to that program to know definitively that they would have played on Sunday. I don't know. It just sits in my mind every Thursday night specifically when somebody's like shocked or stunned at how bad a team is. Listen, they're not a good team to begin with. We can all acknowledge that. Both can be true. We're not a good team to begin with, yet they were plucky as hell on Sunday, losing in overtime to the Seahawks. And they beat the Bengals in Cincinnati in week one, which nobody gave them a chance to do, including myself. I thought they would play reasonably close. I did not think they would win that game. But then to call them a Mickey Mouse operation, a minor league team, totally unfair, totally unnecessary. Completely out of touch with reality. I mean, I heard an interview yesterday. I'm not going to say where. I heard an interview yesterday where the analyst who is paid to talk about the NFL as a whole, and obviously when you're trying to cover 32 teams, you're not going to have every little bit of nuance or whatever. But he was basically like, oh, you know, the Patriots suck. The Patriots are awful. The Patriots are a minor league team. Mickey Mouse operation, this, that, and the other thing. They got no chance. Blah, 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 all this stuff. And as it turned out, he was right. They didn't have a chance last night. They didn't. But you know what? Maybe they would have if the game was on, Sunday. And you could say, well, maybe the Jets would have had a better performance if the game was on Sunday, if they weren't playing their third game in 11 days. You see a theme here? Sure, I don't know for sure, one way or the other, if the Jets wouldn't have beaten the Patriots 24-3 on Sunday afternoon. I don't know that. I mean, logic could probably deduce that, but we don't know. But by forcing both of these teams, one, three games in 11 days on Thursday Night Football, but at home, and with their veteran quarterback back, which is good for them because obviously they were robbed of that last year. But asking the Patriots to essentially play two games, and because they went into overtime last Sunday in Foxborough against the Seahawks and lost that game, you know, an extra whatever, however many minutes it was, on top of, you, granted, it's a short travel, Boston to New Jersey, or Foxborough to New Jersey, Providence to New Jersey, whatever. I'm not going to blame travel, but it is still a thing that you've got to do on a short week, and to play on the road against, you know, a team that a lot of people picked to win the Super Bowl or make the Super Bowl because they were banking on Aaron Rodgers being healthy, which so far through three games he is. And they were banking on a good Jets defense, which so far they are, except for run defense in week one, which can happen to anybody, especially when you're dealing with the 49ers. You see where I'm at here? Like, maybe the Patriots aren't as bad as they showed last night, but because they had to play without half their offensive line against a really aggressive Jets defense, which tore the... Again, the Jets were without Jeremiah Johnson. They were without C.J. Mosley. They don't have Hassan Reddick. But the Jets are that damn good on defense that it doesn't seem like they miss a beat, right? You got Will McDonald, who they invested a first-round pick in. You got Quinnen Williams, who they've invested a first-round pick in. You've got Michael Clemens. You've got Javon Kinlaw, who Sal knows from San Francisco. You've got Sauce Gardner, who was the number four overall pick. You know, it's not a tiddlywinks defense just because they don't have Hassan Reddick and C.J. Mosley. And I guess, you know, they lost Jermaine Johnson to a torn Achilles tendon last Sunday in a win in Nashville. My point being is Thursday Night Football should never really be an indictment on who a team is. It is, I don't want to say it's barbaric. It is savage. It is savage. And it should be no surprise to anybody. It is savage of the NFL to do what they do. All in the exchange of making millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars more. And just so that, oh, you guys don't have to live another night without football. You know who could live another night without football? If it meant better football, if it meant a fairer competition, if it meant not putting guys through another car crash 4 days later, me. I could live with no football on Thursday. I'll find something else to watch. I'll watch Shohei Ohtani. I'll catch up on all the shows that I don't have time for. I'm fine. I don't need Thursday night football like ever. If they never played another Thursday night game, it would not bother me one second. Of course, nobody cares about what I think. Nobody cares about my boo-hoo mentality. These guys are tough. They're warriors. They're human beings. Their bodies break down. And when you're already primed for injury, maybe you get injured easier more. Maybe that caught up to Morgan Moses. I don't know. Anyway, opening thoughts last night, because, listen, the game was boring. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is back. Yes, he was sprinkling the ball all over the place. The Jets have a good run game. They have a good defense. Garrett Wilson's awesome. Seems to be a little bit of weirdness between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson that I maybe want to touch on when we come back. The Jets are good. We all know that. And hey, what do you know? Antonio Gibson was alive and kicking late in that game last night, catching little bubble screen passes from Drake May. We did get to see Drake May. He looked all right last night. We did get to see something. Those of you that hadn't fallen asleep, those of you that were still watching the game, if you stayed until the 56-minute mark, you got to see a little bit of juice, something a little bit fun in the debut of Drake May. We'll come back and touch on a couple of other little things to clean up there from an ex-Commander Redskin Washington football team perspective, as we just touched on. And then we will return and get into, again, the Commanders portion of the show. But I always want to open up with reaction to the primetime game, whether it be the Monday night game or the Thursday night game, because that's the most recent thing that we have. All right, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond, although I probably didn't make anybody feel good by ripping on them for enjoying Thursday night football. If you enjoyed Thursday night football, I know a lot of you like to go out for wings and beers and get the weekend off to a good start. I'm not trying to poo-poo on anybody's parade, you know. I mean, maybe they can play a better college slate on Thursday night. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Clearly, they try and, I think, not schedule the many premier college games on Thursday night because they know the monster that is the NFL. But sometimes you run into a pretty good AT&T ACC game or something like that on a Thursday night. My point is, in a lot of cases, those schools are coming off of byes. Those schools are not playing 4 days later, and they play on Saturday, which Saturday to Thursday night is a little bit easier than Sunday afternoon, sometimes late, sometimes evening, whatever, to Thursday night, and then you factor in travel, so on and so forth. Anyway, I don't know if the Patriots would have been more competitive. I know they've had some lingering issues with their offensive line. Got it. This is not necessarily about would the Patriots have beaten the Jets if they would have had one extra day of rest or two extra days of rest. That's not what this is about. This is about the rhetoric, which was, oh, the Patriots are a Mickey Mouse organization, terrible team, awful this, awful that. They don't have a chance. Look at what's Gerard Mayo doing? Blah, 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 when they're missing half their offensive line. And then asked to go on the road and take on the Jets defense, which I know, again, is missing some key parts too, but the Jets are way better. They're way more developed. They've sucked for years rebuilding that defense. Robert Saleh's in like year four. Gerard Mayo's in year one. They're much more advanced. Much more advanced. My point being is, if in the thirst to make more money, and that's all it is, in the thirst to make more money, The NFL has said, you know what? We're going to use selective data that says nobody gets hurt more on Thursday night games than they do on Sunday afternoon games. Yet we're going to ignore the reality, which is more guys are playing way less than 100%, A, than if the game was on a Sunday versus a Thursday, and B, guys are not playing. Players are not playing on both sides because the game is on a Thursday night as opposed to a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night or even a Monday night. And that's how we tie it in, obviously, to T. Higgins and Cincinnati and so on and so forth because of what Zach Taylor said. And this is just a big bugaboo on my end, so I'm sorry you guys got to deal with this. Maybe you don't care. Maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe all you care about is your wing special on Thursday night at your local watering hole. That's fine. You can watch whatever you want to watch. I've got a microphone. It's my show. I've got to come up with content. I cannot talk about the Commanders 15 hours a week, so I've got to come up with an interesting angle for a boring-ass, terrible game. It's as simple as that. And that's my angle. And it bothers me, and it's always bothered me, and I'll always talk about it, and nobody cares, and nobody gives up. And I do. And if I never had to deal with another Thursday night game, it would never bother me. I'll find plenty of things to watch. All right, Morgan Moses, according to Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, is going to be out for a couple of weeks, but not require surgery. So that's good news. He got banged up and hobbled off for the Jets last night. He's part of the reason why the Ravens are 0-2. Remember, because Moses went back to the Ravens. It was a good offensive line, and then they lost two other starters along with Moses in free agency because they chose to invest their money elsewhere. And now that everybody's wondering, wait a second, why are we 0-2? Why is Lamar Jackson not passing the ball well? Why is Lamar Jackson getting beat up a little bit? Why is Lamar Jackson running for his life? Well, that's part of the reason. On top of that, again, to see Antonio Gibson last night, and again, it's a regular season game. He's got to play, right? You play one game a week, even if it's on a Thursday. Well, I guess you played two games in 5 days, but you get the point. He's now got some time to rest. Antonio Gibson out there last night, running around catching catching balls, was targeted on the very first throw from Drake May, which also, by the way, was almost a pick six. I mean, it could have been a pick six, but Drake May looked okay. I think he bounced back on that second possession. He was only 4 of 8 for 22 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Again, could have thrown a pick six on the very first throw, which was targeted to Gibson. By the way, Gibson on the night, 5 rushes, 29 yards, and 3 catches, 3 targets for 8 yards. So not quite the effective weapon that you're hoping for, but it is what it is. I kind of found it interesting, right? I mean, like, New England's out there. They go to Drake May, which is going to, of course, again, the game was decided. Now it's going to start the drum bell. Is it Drake May's time to drum bell? That's not the right word. You don't want to drum beat. That's what I wanted. Now the question is, does Drake May start in week 4 instead of poor Jacoby Brissett? And I say poor Jacoby Brissett. He's not poor in the wallet. That's not the issue, right? But the New England Patriots visit the San Francisco 49ers next Sunday. They've got extra time to prepare. You put Drake May in there? With a full week plus of practice. Remember, they'll give the players the weekend off, but, you know, at least an extra day of practice. Or do you go back to Jacoby Brissett? I don't know. 301-230-0980. Let's do a quick trending alert, and then we will get out to your calls, and we will get into what a Bengal player had to say about the Commander's offense. You'll hear it next, coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Well, the answer to what we were just talking about, would Drake May start with an extra little bit of time to prepare for the New England Patriots? He finished up last night's game. They're at San Francisco next Sunday. The answer, according to new head coach Gerard Mayo, is no, he will not start. That means Jacoby Brissett, at least for right now, in Mayo's words, saying, quote, Jacoby is our quarterback until I say he is not the quarterback. Tough guy, Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots. Meanwhile, another AFC East team dealing with all sorts of injuries. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa out and on IR. Raheem Mostert has missed Missed last week against Buffalo, again on a Thursday night. Even with all the extra time to prepare for a game in Seattle this Sunday, it looks like Raheem Mostert, who had 19 touchdowns last year, is going to miss another one, according to Mike McDaniel. Commanders on the practice field. We will talk to Sam Cosmi right after practice, right around 3:30, give or take a couple of minutes. And from baseball last night, of course, if you missed it, Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers, they qualify for the playoffs. But more importantly, Shohei Ohtani becomes the first 50-50 player in baseball history. Now, he hit his final home run for 51 off of an infielder, but it was a moonshot. But the point is that Shohei Ohtani may have had the greatest single and individual game of all time, driving in 10 runs last night and also hitting 3 home runs and a couple of other extra base hits. Shohei Ohtani, amazing, and welcome to October. And that's what's trending. All right, we'll get to Dr. Sabah in just a wee little bit. By the way, speaking of Dr. Sabah, congratulations to the Mystics. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, but they started off like 0-12. And they finished, I think, 14-26. Which isn't good. Nobody's trying to say it's good. But if you start off 0-12 and you lose a bunch of close games, as they did during that, I think it was 0-12, during that stretch, and then you finish 14-26 and you beat Indiana, even though Caitlin Clark was playing limited minutes and Indiana had everything tied up, and you set a WNBA attendance record for a single game. Now, again, a lot of that, I'm sure, is Caitlin Clark. Just being honest, most of that is probably Caitlin Clark. Of over 20,700, I think it was 20,711 people, the largest single game attendance mark in WNBA history. Man, it deserves a congratulations, a hearty pat on the back. And obviously, again, it tells you the power of Caitlin Clark, if you didn't already know that. We'll get more into that when we can. But the point of the matter is, what an electric atmosphere at Capital One Arena last night. What an electric atmosphere. It was a good game. I watched it all the way until the end and into the postgame show over the Thursday night game, quite honestly. The beginning of the Thursday night game. I mean, I did flip over to that after, you know, a couple minutes into the postgame when I realized, you know, what was going on. But I, you know, I was there. So just wanted to make mention of that. And the Shohei Ohtani thing, real quickly, was just amazing. I mean, again, look, first 50-50 player in Major League history. I understand Skip Shoemaker, the Miami Marlins manager, is getting some crap from people. Why did you pitch to him? Why did you not? He appeared to, you know, say in his dugout to his assistant, you know, he deserves this. I'm not going to intentionally walk him or anything like that. I mean, again, Ohtani becomes the first player ever in baseball history to hit 50 home runs and 50 steals. Used to be a big deal, 40-40. Used to be a big deal, 30-30. I mean, Ohtani is unreal. But most importantly, selfishly, right? Because a lot of people probably weren't watching the Dodgers against the Marlins last night and have only probably seen the highlights. We get to see Ohtani for at least a little while, and hopefully maybe more, in October, in the postseason. His first, I didn't realize it. I thought he had played in a postseason. But it is his first time, because he was playing with the horrible Anaheim Angels, it's his first time in the baseball postseason. I know Trout's only had one postseason appearance, but then, and maybe that's what I was getting confused in my mind. But Ohtani gets 50-50, hits 3 home runs, a couple of extra base hits, drives in 10, and most importantly, I think probably for him, and probably for baseball, and certainly for me, we get to see him in the postseason. We get to see him when the stage is as big and as bright as you possibly can get. And oh, by the way, when you play against when you play for the Dodgers, you have a chance, of course, to get to and win a World Series. And could you imagine if Shohei Ohtani puts on, now he won't put on a performance like he did last night. The Marlins are terrible. And again, they were pitching, infielders in the ninth inning, grooving 83-mile-an-hour, fastballs. But could you imagine if baseball gets Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers versus, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and the Yankees? L.A., New York, the media markets, stars. Enormous stars. I mean, that will be beyond must-watch TV. Right? Now, long way to go before you get to that point. And obviously, it could get derailed easily. Right? It could be the Dodgers versus the sinking Baltimore Orioles. It could be the, who suddenly wake up. It could be another team in the National League. The Brewers. Yeah, the Brewers are in the National League. Yeah, right? Yeah, they're in the National League. They've switched leagues a couple of times. They're in the National League. It could be the Brewers, and they're a fun team too. It could be the Mets or the Phillies. But, I mean, my goodness. Shohei Ohtani, at the minimum, you're going to get him for a couple of games in October in the postseason. And hopefully more than that. Unbelievable performance. All right, now. I want to get to this, start setting this up. So yesterday afternoon, I see on Twitter, maybe it was last night, I can't remember, that Bengals young defensive back Cam Taylor-Britt, who had an interception, a really nice interception of Patrick Mahomes on Sunday at Arrowhead, starts popping off about the Washington offense and what they are, what they're not. Now, the audio that was recorded from the beat reporters in the locker room is a little bit hard to hear. We did the best we could. I sent Matt two different versions. He did his magic. He pumped it up as good as we can. So we're only going to play it one time. Okay? So you got to listen. But I wanted to play it here, and then we'll come back and react to it and get Dr. Sabah before the top of the hour. Cam Taylor-Britt, the Bengals defensive back, going against the Commanders this Monday in the locker room, asked, hey, man, Jaden Daniels, what's your thought? What have you seen on film? Typical question, what reporters generally ask players, especially early in the week, about an upcoming opponent. What stands out to you on tape?
Yeah, Capone, they don't make them do a lot. So they keep it really simple for them. Nice college offense. Kingsbury's the OC, so a little move guys around here and there. But, just keep it real simple for them. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short route. Some intermediate stuff, quick throws.
A nice college offense. Kingsbury's the OC. I heard his completion percentage is high, but, it's a lot of short throws. You know what? Cam Taylor-Britt isn't totally wrong. There are a lot of elements to a quick passing attack and what is morphing way more from a college offense into an NFL standard offense. He isn't wrong completely. As a matter of fact, he's got some fair points. But here's one thing that I will say just real quickly. I don't know if it's the smartest thing in the world for Cam Taylor-Britt, a three-year player, to be providing some sort of bulletin board material. For those of you that believe in that, and I do believe a little bit of it, certainly. We mentioned it with Kayvon Thibodeau last week. I don't know if it guarantees anything, but certainly it can't hurt. It can't hurt to be motivated and fueled by someone else's evaluation of you when it's not particularly flattering. Like Cam Taylor-Britt's interpretation of the Washington offense and specifically Cliff Kingsbury. So we'll return and have more on that and ask you at 301-230-0980, did it bother you? Does it bug you that the outside perception, at least one player, but it's more than one player because the national media has been chirping about this, is that the Commanders basically run a college-style offense, A, because either Cliff Kingsbury is an incompetent boob, or They don't trust Jaden Daniels. And that's the question. And that's the real root of the issue. We'll explore that next. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. So we obviously opened up with the Thursday night game and the criticisms that I had there. And as well, little Shohei Ohtani. We did something else in between. I can't remember. But now we've made our way into the conversation about the Commanders and the Bengals and what Cam Taylor-Britt, the young defensive back for the Bengals, said about Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, and the Washington Commanders offense. Now, I didn't know this, but I guess last week I'm reading a story from Jordan Dejani of CBSSports.com. Apparently, he criticized Xavier Worthy last week of the Kansas City Chiefs, saying he's only able to run fast. And then he had a great interception, right? So now he thinks he's, Mike Haynes, the greatest, one of the greatest corner, Deion Sanders, one of the greatest corners of all time. All right, relax there, buddy. Relax, So then this week he's asked, hey, man, what do you think about Jaden Daniels, the Washington offense that you're going to be faced? And we played you the audio, but it was a little difficult to hear, so we'll just redo the quote. He said, quote, the whole quote, composed. All right, that's a compliment. They're composed. But then he goes right into, well, they don't make him do a lot. They keep it really simple for him. Now, you might not think that's anything bad, but we know that in general, people don't take stuff like that correctly or right, and they take offense to, hey, they keep it really simple for him. They don't make him do a lot. They're not asking him to do a lot. Generally, people take that as a slap in the face. Like, they're good. But they're not asking him to, save the day. He says, nice college offense, Kingsbury, the OC. So they love to move guys around here and there, but just keep it real simple for him. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short routes, Some intermediate stuff, quick throws. I don't know about you guys. I took this more. Yes, it was a criticism in general and overall of Cliff Kingsbury and the Washington offense. But doesn't it reek a little bit like, they're not giving Jaden Daniels a lot to do, a lot to think about, a lot to process, a lot to worry about, a lot to, on his back, a lot on his shoulders. Yeah, they're really being conservative. And like, that's how I took it. Whereas I saw a lot of initial reaction was, oh, Cliff Kingsbury sucks. Cliff Kingsbury's a terrible offensive coordinator. That's not how I took it. Sure, he says, you know, nice college offense, Kingsbury, the OC. And yes, Kingsbury's the one who designed it. And yes, Kingsbury's the one that's calling it. But he's like, you know, he's asked about the offense. And he says, composed, good. But then they don't make him do a lot, which, again, is more of, I guess, a criticism against Kingsbury and the staff. They keep it really simple for him. But the way I'm interpreting that is, you know, yeah, they don't ask him to do a lot, but maybe it's because Cam Taylor-Britt doesn't think Jaden Daniels can do a lot. Or is that special? That's the way I interpreted it. Maybe I interpreted it wrong. It's probably more about Cliff than Jaden, but I kind of took it as, like, when he says, I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short routes, you know? Some medium, intermediate stuff, quick throws. That's more on Jaden, I think. Let's get to Dr. Sabah here before the top of the hour. We got a couple of minutes here to wrap up. What's up, Doc? How are you?
Hey there, Christopher. I just want to apologize about the other day.
That's okay.
You take my call late. I so do. You should have just told me, you know, another day.
That's all right. It's okay. I try and get everybody in as quickly as we can, and you're always fun.
I appreciate it, but I felt bad because even the Hoffman people were complaining. So anyway, and then I did
screw the Hoffman people.
I wish I could have been there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that would have been awesome, but I was stuck working today, but I watched it, and I was nice watching Drake May come in at the end there of the game because I went once Caitlin got out of the game, I switched it over. And it was very interesting, your comment about the Jaden Daniels. I don't think it's just for Jaden Daniels, too. I think it's a lot of the rookies. I sent you something that Tom Brady said the other day. I sent it to you in your little Twitter thing. And he literally said, I'm going to do my little screenshot. He said, I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why we are is because we've dumbed the game down.
Yeah, Brady got a lot of criticism for that, yes.
But he's right. He said he spent 5 years at Michigan learning how to read a defense and how to read wide receivers and cornerbacks and how to have pocket awareness. And then when he got into the league, you know, he didn't play right away. And we see what that did with Patrick Mahomes not playing right away. He seems to have a more comfort level, and they didn't have to sort of be as elementary on their offensive style, you know, that they run. And look at these quarterbacks now. Look at the with the Cards and the Sam Darnolds and the other what's the other guy? Oh, Baker Mayfield. Look at these guys now that they've been around. They've had experience. It didn't work out really initially. Maybe that happens with the guy from Carolina and Wilson, Zach Wilson. Maybe if they just go away for a while, study. You know, Chris, when I graduated medical school, I didn't just say, oh, I'm going to be a surgeon, boom, going to operate. It took 5 years of every day operating. You realize how many operations I had to do before I could do one little case?
Yeah.
So it takes time for people to learn. Playing quarterback is hard.
Yes, I agree.
So are they just going to keep the game elementary? Because I don't like that style of play. I want my quarterback to surgically dissect the defense with a knife. I don't want him to sort of what they call blunt dissection. In medicine, they call it blunt dissection, where you ruin everything else just to get to something because you're afraid of cutting something bad.
Doc's educating us on surgery procedures and terminology. I love
it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you do sharp dissection, you're risking cutting something really bad. However, if you do it correctly, you don't hurt anything surrounding it.
I hear you. I hear you. No, it's some good points. Yeah, no doubt. Listen, let me jump in because I got to get going for the top of the hour. We'll do more of the Commanders on Monday or whenever it works for you. But I appreciate you as always. And yes, Caitlin Clark was here for a second time last night. Sold out Capital One Arena, and again, largest attendance single game in the history of the WNBA. All right, back in a flash for the 2 o'clock hour. Don't forget, Sam Cosmi joins us right after 3:30 here on the Team 980.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.